and Good Friday Morning, a getaway Friday, last Friday in the month of August, August 27th, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, which can be heard on this station live every Friday morning, 11:10 a.m., Sunday morning, 8:10 a.m., and Wednesday afternoon, 3:10 p.m. You can also check out the website, wwgh1071.com. Go to the program archive. Pastor Spot is the first show there, and you can listen to every week back to March of 2018. Also, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service airs every Sunday at 12:15 on this station. We now turn to the host, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
And good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing well.
And good morning, listening audience. It's good to have you here today. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. And we are at 209 East Water Street. Our services are on Sunday morning. We have a... good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Sunday morning, we have a Bible study hour, Sunday school hour at 9:30. And then at 10:30 is our worship hour. We have evening service, midweek Bible studies, a lot going on. School's just started, so we're still trying to figure out. We've been doing coffee on Wednesday mornings. This week it was Thursday. And it's we have coffee and iced coffee and pastries, and it's free to anyone that comes up. It's just donation. And we've had a great time visiting with people. It starts at 6:30 in the morning, runs till 9:30, right out in front of the church. But this week it was on Thursday, and I'm not sure where we're headed with it going into the fall, because the lady that was running doing the most of it, she went back to school. She's working and teaching at school, so she couldn't be there. And we'll see what happens. We'll see where that goes. But yeah, it's been a great week. It's been oh so hot. But it still feels good to get out and do stuff. I still, some people think I'm crazy, but I prefer this over the cold, and definitely over the wet and damp. I am a sunshine person, and I need sunshine in my life.
You know, my two favorite months of the year are May and October. Not because of the coolness, although I do like that. I like to put on a sweater or whatever, but it's still sunny. It's still doable to go outside, but it's also... the weather is just right.
And things start to change, and they look nice. It's funny, my 2 months, your favorite months would probably be May and October also, because in May you get all the greenery coming to life again, and the winter's disappearing, and things are budding, and flowers are up, and all the perennials are popping, and that's beautiful. But I think I have to add Christmas time, too. I love Christmas time.
You know what is so funny to me every year is that the month of December doesn't seem to be a problem for people, but January is. And essentially, the weather is pretty much the same. It's just, I think people are out. The lights are up.
I think they're excited.
They're excited.
It's something that it really is a mood changer.
It is. That whole stretch, October, November, December, thank goodness it falls where it does in the Midwest here. Because those can be some bad months, but there are good things going on.
Mm-hmm. But then we roll into January, and also we realize, oh no, we got 3 more months of this stuff possibly.
And those are the worst 3. January, yeah. February, March. Yeah.
But we get through them.
And
time flies. I wish at my age, I wish it would slow down a little sometimes.
It does move fast, doesn't it?
It does move rather rapidly. I'll tell you, some of the things I want to talk about today is there's a lot of struggles going on out there, and I recognize it, and I realize that. With the COVID scare is on the rise again, and I know someone that currently has it, and just about everyone knows somebody that's concerned with it or has it right now. And it's certainly something that people are concerned about. Also, the vaccine is a very concerning thing, and the orders of Ohio State came out and said all their students had to be vaccinated, and I don't know where that's going to play out in the courts, how that'll end up. A friend of mine yesterday, a young lady that I know, had her second dose of the vaccine. First dose never bothered her. Had her second dose yesterday, and she started shaking uncontrollably in her arms and hands and had to go to urgent care and see what was going on. And they said it was just a reaction from that, and they didn't know how long it would last, or they just couldn't say. And, that's scary stuff.
Well, the thing that frightened me was, and it had nothing at the time to do with COVID, I guess you put it to the back of your mind, you read the numbers, you have the interviews, but my grandfather got an infection, and he's fine, but they had his age, they took him to the hospital for it, and he stayed at night till they could get everything, fixed. And I went to the hospital, and, that's not an anecdote. Thank goodness he wasn't there because of COVID, although they checked him. But that's scary. To see what the numbers are and to see the rooms available right now at the hospital, and that as of yesterday, when they came out and said, we're not going to do elective overnight procedures anymore, I know why. I walked in that hospital door and saw what's going on there.
What's interesting about that is I've talked to some people in healthcare that have told me that they're seeing almost an equal amount of people in the hospital that have been vaccinated and have not been vaccinated.
You know, it's so, down to 85% now. Can you believe that?
So it's kind of that's interesting, but you know, there's so much going on. I think about what's going on in Afghanistan. A good friend of ours' son just missed a deployment because they weren't ready to go yet, and they would have been at the airport, and I'm glad they weren't. And I look at a friend of mine messaged me the other day about was actually online with a group of people in a church worshiping just last week, and the Taliban came in and slaughtered all of them right while she was on the phone with them. And she heard screaming, and everything just went blank. And it's such a cruel thing that's going on there. And I don't think as Americans we can even comprehend what those people live with every day, and the fear of what's going on around them, and the instability. But you know, that region has always been unstable since the beginning of that region. They're a very it's a very tribal and clan society. Is clannish, and you know, it's kind of one of those things where, because of that, because of all the different, you know, lords of the families and whatnot throughout that area, it's kind of like the situation of having a whole bunch of chiefs and not enough Indians, and to get all the chiefs together is next to impossible.
You know, it's fascinating to me from the perspective of history, because a popular saying that you don't hear so much anymore is you better learn history or you're doomed to repeat it. Well, in the last 50 years, we've done this three times. We did it with Vietnam. As soon as we were gone, South Vietnam's government was gone. We did it in Iraq. As soon as we left, there came ISIS, and they occupy Iraq now. And now it's happened in Afghanistan.
Not so much in Iraq.
Well, you know,
they still have a huge presence in Iraq.
We do, but to that degree.
But if we were to pull out,
it would happen.
It'd be Afghanistan.
Right. And I don't know why we have not learned yet that leaving equipment and leaving a government is not going to work.
Well, I know that when we went into Afghanistan, Russia had just gotten out of Afghanistan a few years earlier, and that was a no-win for them. And they just laughed at us and said, you're crazy. But I think that there needed to be a response to what happened on 9/11. I think there needed to be a response to what happened with the bombing of the USS Cole and those situations. And I think it needed to be direct, and it needed to be hard. But I don't think that we can nation build in those regions. They're just not they're not us. They're not Western civilization, and they're completely different. And nation building doesn't work. I do believe in an old saying, and I don't remember who said this. It might have been one of our generals that said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Well, you know, honestly, the Iraq war will be debated forever, and so will the Vietnam war. But you're not going to find too many people who say Afghanistan was a bad idea. Everybody wanted to hit somebody after 9/11. Bin Laden had been there. We find out that he had left when he knew we were coming. And the Taliban were bad people. And if we did suppress them for 20 years, you know, that's not an awful thing.
There were a lot of women educated during that 20-year period
absolutely.
Of time that never and won't be allowed to be now. Unfortunately, because so many of those women were educated and bettered themselves, they're the ones that are going to be slaughtered by the Taliban.
Well, and luckily,
for the fact that they got educated.
Well, and I believe I'm right on this. Of Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, the least amount of American troops that were lost in combat was Afghanistan, which is good.
We'd only lost 18 over the last year.
Yeah.
And we've lost more than that in 2 days.
Yeah. Well,
and people can't get to the airport, and they're stuck, and there's nowhere to go. You know, maybe they can sneak over the border into Iraq and find American troops. I don't know what they're going to do.
You know, I think that was the mistake, though. See, the terrorists, and I think that's what we have to call them, are not bright people, because they always make the mistake. Now, if they had just taken back over Afghanistan, honestly, I think we would have probably stayed out of it. But when you kill Americans, we will respond. And I think we will respond here. There's no doubt about it.
I don't think they care. You know, when you have, you know, look at these suicide bombers. What's really bad about it? You know, these are people that maybe haven't lived the best life anyway, so they're real easy to recruit, because one guaranteed way to get into heaven, according to the Quran, is to kill an infidel. So they recruit these people, and you know, when they go into the suicide vest on, they truly believe that the minute that thing blows, they're in paradise. And they firmly believe that. So it's pretty easy recruiting tool, especially to someone that thinks, I haven't really followed what I was supposed to anyway, and I'm doomed. They don't get people to do this that have a bright future. And so they do. It's just kind of a sad thing. But, you know, in looking at all this, and I've read a lot of the posts people put out, really sad posts about how they feel and how hurt they are and watching what's going on, and you do feel for them. Me, I have a soft spot for those little kids that just, you know, even the ones that maybe they're not getting killed themselves, being separated from parents that are killed and all the things that go on. And, you know, their only value over there anyway is what their dollar value is. I was at a training at OSU a few years ago on an EMT continuing education, and there was a fellow there that was a ER doctor at OSU, and he had been, I forget how many tours he'd been in Afghanistan, but I mean, this guy was there, and he was in field hospitals. And field hospitals are the first place they take you. From there, then they will medvac you out to a bigger hospital somewhere else. But in the field hospitals, they would also take in a lot of the Afghani people that had, you know, that was the main thing they did, actually, the Afghani showing up. And anyway, this guy shows up, and he was the I don't know what you call him, the leader of the local town. And he showed up with this little girl. She was just beautiful. This guy had pictures of her. Just a sad deal. But showed up with this little girl, and she had gangrene in her arm. Well, the reason she had gangrene was she had gotten a bad cut on her arm, and her father had seen how the Americans would tourniquet stuff. So not understanding what a tourniquet did, he put a tourniquet on it and cut off all circulation to her arm. So they came to the father, and they said, we need to operate immediately. We have to amputate her arm. And he said, no, you can't. He said, I'll take her home, and it'll heal. And they said, no, it won't. He said, I will. And they said, why won't you let us operate? He said, because if she has both arms, she's worth four goats. If she has one arm, I'll be lucky to get one goat. I'll take my chances. And they showed me a picture. They gave this little girl some pain medicine. They put her in some bright new pajamas she'd never had and cleaned her up and sent her home to die. And that's the mentality over there. And I don't think we understand that in this country at all, the mentality of the people there. And, you know, we value our children and our families, and I'm sure a lot of them do too, as someone we love and nourish and want them to do well. But they honestly, the men in that society, put a dollar value on everything. I've talked to some other guys that were deployed and said when they get into regions that are needing food and needing help, and when the food comes in, the women have to stay completely back. The fathers and the sons eat first. And if there's anything left, then the women and the young girls can come forward and eat. And how sad is that when you think about it? We can't fathom that here. I mean, if you were a father, I'm a father, Frank's been a father. If food showed up and we were hungry, we would step back and send our children or our wife in to follow or go with the children and eat, and we would eat last. And that's not the way it is in the Middle East. And people have to understand that difference. And I think that's one of the reasons we have to be very careful about what we import to this country and in the numbers in which we do import it. Because we're seeing what's happening right now in London and throughout some of the Western culture, where that whole mindset of Sharia law is taking over in areas. And you know, for a country like ours that continues to work towards women's rights and betterment of women, to bring in a culture that literally just shoves women off to the side as not having any value to them is something we really need to recognize and understand what's going on.
You know what's interesting to me, though? As Americans, it's an odd thing, and it is with the Middle East as well. But, you know, in World War II, The last group to surrender on the opposite side was were the Japanese, and you know, again, they had kamikaze pilots who got in knowing they were going to kill themselves.
They had funerals for them before they left.
They did. But we can't understand that. We can't understand that. And I never understood that, and I never understood that to the Middle East until the Soviet Union fell. And then it dawned on me why we don't understand this, and we never will, and we never do. I remember when we could talk to the Soviet Union finally. And somebody was on television, because we were allowed to go over there finally, and they were asking Russians where they wanted to go now that they could get passports into the United States, and they were saying Disney World and places like that. And then one person said Oxford, Mississippi. And the reporter goes, Oxford, Mississippi? Why do you want to go to Oxford, Mississippi? And the Russian said, because that's, through a translator, because that's where your great author William Faulkner is from. Now, how many Americans know that? People in other countries are always far more interested in America than we are in them. They really are.
Well, I think it's because there's something in this country that's been very unique in this country that's not been anywhere else, and it's personal liberty. And it was founded on personal liberty. And we, as Americans, have always had the opportunity, whether some have it easier and some don't, that's not the way. We've always had the opportunity to better ourselves and get out of a class and move to another class, or to worship how we see fit. Go anywhere else in the world, and it's not been so much that way. I mean, even in England, when you look at the hard fist that the Church of England had on all everyone, and in this country, we've not had that. And so people look at America, and Americans can do anything, you know, and it's kind of in awe. And we have to understand, too, today that that's an important thing we have to protect is our personal liberty and being able to. That's honestly why a lot of people don't have a problem, and I've talked to several people that don't have a problem with the science or with the medical side of our vaccine. But what they do struggle with is the personal liberty that we have not to take it if we choose not to. And that's what people don't want stepped on, is their personal liberty. Now, whether or not in the past, I know that when I was in school, many, many moons ago, and they were giving polio vaccines, they just lined everybody up, and you went through the line and got shot in the arm with about 30 needles at a time. Or you know, there were some other vaccines that we got, and they just could, would Mrs. Hanner's first grade class come down to the lunchroom now, and you get in line and walk by, and these nurses would be there, and they swab your arm and give you a shot, and you cry and go on, and, you know, so it's something we've done a lot of. But when people come out and say, you will or else, Americans have a tendency to bristle up, and it's because we've had that personal liberty to do what we want to do and not do.
And not to, because the vaccination is everywhere, the COVID is everywhere, the conversations are right now on every show. But honestly, with this, I mean, we can talk personal liberties all day long, and I'm fine with those. But the problem is, you don't have total freedom in this country. I cannot say to you in a serious way, I'm going to come back and kill you. Can't do it. I cannot do that.
You got to understand, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, there's not too much killing involved in
right.
that.
Right. And I think that's why the vaccine is becoming such a problem, because I honestly do believe that the doctors and the government and the health departments wanted people to go get it on their own. They made it free. They made it a choice. They didn't mandate it until the FDA came in and okayed it. But people didn't go get it. In Ohio, we're sitting at 40%, and you having it does impact me.
Why?
If we were sitting like this right now.
Why? If you have your vaccination, shouldn't you be vaccinated against it?
Well, we're finding out now that possibly.
But most people don't die when they get it.
Right.
Way. What about the flu? You know, we had the Hong Kong flu. Nobody went out and got a Hong Kong flu shot. It almost killed me as a 10-year-old.
Right.
We have bad flus every year. The amount of seniors that are killed by the flu every year has far exceeded what we normally have lost through COVID. I'm talking about the flu killing senior citizens above the age of 70 years old. So why haven't we made the flu shot mandatory so that we don't kill our older population?
Well,
if you can tell me that answer, I'll go along with you. But you can't, because they don't.
Well, I think because it's a senior citizen because it is that group that gets... Here's what's...
You just said it.
Right, it is that group that gets it, but it's not against the senior citizens.
It is.
Well, but I tell you, the first child that dies from this in Marion County, you will see the vaccination rate jump. Because nobody wants to see a kid who had could have had a full life die from this. And that family will be devastated.
Nobody wants to see... Like, I'll give you an example. I have a young adult granddaughter. She is scared to death of the vaccine. She's never had children. They don't know what the outcome of this is going to be down the road. I just told you about a girl that's only 26 years old that went in yesterday and got her second dose, and she's shaking uncontrollably. And they told her they don't even know if it'll go away. Now, you know, okay, you talk about killing somebody by not getting the vaccine. How about by getting the vaccine, what it may do to me? We have never had a vaccine rush like this to the market that fast. Or an approval, either one.
No.
We have no... From the time that vaccine was started, right now, here in about October, the very first babies will be being born from people that were vaccinated in late October. We don't even know if there's going to be birth defects from it. So for somebody to tell me, look, you're hurting my health by not getting it. Well, guess what? I don't want to kill myself or my children either, and I'm not going to tell my kids to get a vaccine that may be so detrimental. I mean, if we're always already seeing one very common thing, especially among young males, is a consistent heart murmur after the vaccine, a very consistent heart murmur. We have so many things we just don't know, and I think that's why a lot of people, I would never tell somebody that they're wrong not to get it. I would say this, that if you show any symptoms of it and you're not vaccinated, stay home. Stay away from people.
But they don't.
Huh?
But they don't.
If they're sick? I think people are pretty, even people that that haven't been vaccinated, I think that their ears perk up a little bit when they start feeling like they're getting something and wondering if they're getting it. And I think they do. But here's the other thing. If we're finding now that vaccinated people are spreading it, what was the point in the beginning?
Well, I think...
Hoping it would work?
Well, I do believe that if the vaccinated population was more than 37%, and vaccines do prevent you from getting as ill, which that's what hospitals are saying, then it would not have been as bad.
Think about this, Scott. I heard people say that, you know, if everyone's vaccinated, we can wipe this thing out. Okay, first of all, it's a virus. No, you're not, just to begin with. Second of all, we are letting 20,000 people a month over our southern border that aren't vaccinated and are carrying it. I mean, and shipping them all over the United States. Now, you're going to tell one of my kids that they can't go to college in a month if they're not vaccinated. Why, the same group of people is supporting those people coming out of over the border that are not vaccinated. We don't know what they're carrying. And many of them are carrying diseases that we thought we were rid of a long time ago. Polio, for one. They've had several people with polio cases. So I think we have to make sense with everything that's going on. Look, if we can't mandate one thing while we're letting something else go completely apart and bringing in people by the thousands and putting them on buses, sending them all over the country that we don't know anything about their health condition, and they're definitely not vaccinated. So there's that question. The other thing is this, that there's up to 25% of the adult population right now that for one reason or another are being advised not to be vaccinated because they don't know the situation. One of them being is my granddaughter who has spina bifida, and her doctors have clearly come out and said, we don't know enough to risk her having a vaccination right now. So you take that population of people that have developmental disabilities, that have physical disabilities, have other infirmities that they're a little concerned. I've got another friend of mine whose son is extremely autistic, and the doctor said, do not give them the vaccination. We don't know how it affects people with autism yet. You know, there's been no studies on it. So my bottom line is, what I'm saying is, if we have all these people that can't be, you know, we're still going to keep this thing stirring for a long time, even if everybody that could be gets vaccinated. So what I'm saying is, do what's right, If you get vaccinated, great. If you don't want to get vaccinated, stay away from people if you don't feel well. Have some common courtesy around people. And we'll see how this thing plays out.
Well, and that's the freedom that we do have, and we're going to see what freedom on this issue gets us. Because right now, we talked to the health commissioner in hour number one this morning, 500 people just in Marion in the last 2 weeks were diagnosed. 500 people.
That's how many people were ICU hospitalized?
Way up. I think it was 18 in the ICU, and that's not even the hospital point. So
I understand the severity of it. My brother almost died. He was on a vent for 30 days.
And we are going to have the popcorn festival. Nobody's putting the brakes on it. And you're going to have 100,000 people in downtown Marion in just about a week and a half. And you got a you got a vaccinated population of 41% in this county.
So I would say, I would say that.
This will be personal liberty. It's your liberty to go to the popcorn festival. It's your liberty to get vaccinated. But
we'll see if herd immunity works.
Well, you know what frightens me about the whole thing is not even the COVID aspect. What if you have cancer? What if you have a stroke? What if you have a heart attack and the hospital cannot work around that because we had a festival and people decided not to listen? You know, that's the personal liberty problem. And you know, 3 months people have had their choice, and we see what their choice is. 60% say no. I don't understand it. It's worrisome because I worry about those healthcare workers, and I worry about the elderly who are at more risk to have strokes and heart attacks and diseases that they need to go to the infections. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be room? 100,000 people, and I bet anybody a value meal at any restaurant in town that the festival will be as busy as it's always been.
Well, I think you're probably right. I mean, I think that people, you know, they want to get out and they're doing things. I think that people, even when things are around them, after a while they get used to them and they function anyway. You know, they've been having bombs and attacks in Israel and in different places in the Middle East for decades now, but that doesn't stop people from going out and shopping in those street markets, knowing that at any time a bomb could go off or someone could go in. And, you know, I think that after a while you get almost callous to something and you just want to breathe and go out and do it, and I think that's probably what a lot of it is. But we'll see how this thing plays out. I'm one of those. I had an old friend named Jerry years ago. He used to always say, stop worrying about stuff, because the minute you're worrying about this, something else that you never thought about is going to come up and bite you. So let's be sensible. Let's be kind. Let's be considerate to one another. You know, if you don't want to be vaccinated, you're not vaccinated. If you feel anything at all coming on, do the courteous thing and hold back. But you know, I'll just say personally myself, if I had any young children, mine are all adults now. But if I'd be very concerned about this vaccine in a young child.
Absolutely.
Right now. I mean, they just don't have the data they need, and you know, it's a scary thing. And young kids are not, they're finding young kids are not spreading it like they thought they were. Young kids are not getting it like they said they were. This is still a disease that primarily hurts and kills the elderly. There are cases of younger people getting it and dying, but mainly it's a 55 to 60-year-old and up situation that people truly die, or people that already have some form of an illness. And I think that. So what I'm getting at is, I'm not saying that that group doesn't matter. What I am saying is that for the kids right now, if a parent chooses that they think it's a greater risk for them to be vaccinated than not, I can't argue with them.
I hope, because nobody wants to see a child die, and nobody wants to see multiples die. And I just, that moment has not happened here yet in this county. I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does, people are going to place blame, and there's going to be a lot.
I don't want to see a whole generation of young women not be able to have kids because they took a vaccine.
You know what this feels like
to me? And that could be.
The problem is this, and I do look at the Popcorn Festival as a mark of this, because last August, it was about 1,000 cases a day in Ohio. Yesterday, there were 5,600. we're way up. We're about five times as high. And we weren't having popcorn festivals. We weren't having schools in session every day without masks. We weren't doing that. So what's November and December going to be like? But I feel like we're standing right now because we still have time to stop this. And I keep thinking, like, you know, you drive down a road on a dark night and the bridge is washed out. And you go in, but you keep your life, but your car went into the sinkhole. And you're walking back and the car stops and you say, hey, don't go ahead. This happened to me. There's a sinkhole up there. And inevitably, 15 people will turn and go the other way, but one person will try to go get through that sinkhole and end up in it. And I feel that's where we are.
You know, when this vaccine was first being ready to be distributed and come out, you know, the recommendation was for pregnant women and women intending to get pregnant in the near future not to take it. That was the recommendation. That went away, but it didn't go away with science.
But you know what? I wonder, because kids 12 and under still can't get it. Will not be given. They won't give it to you.
Good.
And let's take pregnant women into that as well. That's not 63% of the population.
No, but it's enough of the population that you're not going to eradicate it.
No, but why are the other... I will say that is about 10%. Why is the other 43% not doing anything?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't get a big enough gift card.
Well, and you know, but that isn't even moving people to do it.
You know, it's moved some people.
About a percent
about
in Marion County.
Is that what it was?
About a percent.
Really?
Even the $1 million, that didn't do anything.
Yeah, I think it did something.
About 0.5%.
Is that what it was?
We since it started, 37% to 41%. That's the only change we've seen.
I will tell you this. And this is the honest truth. This is the bottom line. Anyone that has not been vaccinated right now, we can talk personal liberty all we want, okay? And I think that's a fine thing. But I think even people that stand firm on personal liberty have that decision, I get it or I don't. So if they have not gotten it, it's still a personal liberty decision. If they get it, it's a personal liberty decision. But I firmly believe the reason they haven't got it is because they are afraid of the vaccine. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to not get it.
Oh, could be. But
because it's still a personal choice.
But I, you know, and if we do find out, and we'll find out in 10 years when this is all history's written, about the kids and the elderly and the people who had compromises, diabetes, all those problems. But the problem is, that's the thing with this. If you're a carrier and it just gave you a cold and a body ache and you walk into an elderly person who's 95 years old doing okay, but their immune system is not what it once was, and you gave it to them, this has happened. You know,
so has giving them the flu and them dying.
Right, but we don't know who has and who doesn't. And that's the problem here, is there are 40-year-old people dying. There are 30-year-old people dying. And there are 50-year-old people dying. And not to discount the elderly, but I just, you know, at some point, people wanted restaurants open. People wanted not to wear masks.
That people have to just be very personally responsible with what they do. You know, it was my personal liberty to get a vaccine if I wanted it. And
exactly.
To get it. And so I really do honestly believe that they're afraid of the vaccine. I don't think it's stubbornness. I don't think it's meanness. I don't think it's selfishness. I think it's fear. And because if it wasn't fear, they would get it. Think about that. If they didn't have anything to be afraid of this vaccine, there'd be nothing stopping them to get it, especially if someone's going to kick them a $100 gift card to go do it.
But what's driving that?
What's driving the fear? They don't know. What's driving the fear is a vaccine that came to so fast. Well, a lot of people don't realize, too. I don't want to run out of time here. But a lot of people don't realize this, too. It is that COVID, not COVID-19, but COVID, has been around for generations. We've been vaccinating cattle for it forever. I personally vaccinated a lot of cattle for it. And the thing was, what they don't realize, they did not start from square one with this vaccine. They started with what they already knew about COVID and what they already had in a vaccine, and they had to then work on that vaccine to make it fit what's now. So even though it's a short-term vaccine, it's not a vaccine they started from scratch with. So there was some work long behind it before they had something to start with, is what I'm getting at. And developing vaccines does not take as long as it used to. What is different is that we don't have the long-term studies to see what the outcome is, and I think you're right. I think we're going to see what the outcome is. But, you know, when I talk about personal responsibility, my brother, who was got out of the hospital, he's about out a month now, and he almost died from COVID. We know that. He was in a long time, and he's got a very, very weak system right now. His lungs are extremely weak and damaged, and I was supposed to be up there tomorrow, actually, for a family thing to see him, and I really desperately want to see him. He's in Wisconsin sitting up on Lake Superior and Claire at the top of the bay. But I was going to leave and go there, and I called him the other day, and I said, look, some bronchitis going around in our family right now. And he said, oh, thank you. He said, I couldn't take, you know, bronchitis could do me in right now. And so that's, you know, even though I would love to take in the time and go up there, the truth is that, you know, I have to be responsible and do what's right. And I think that we all need to be that way.
See, and that's the personal liberty part that I think is getting lost here. The personal liberty part is being applied to taking the vaccine or not. What you just described very perfectly is the responsibility we clearly are not taking. I don't feel well. There's bronchitis going around. There's a lot of people who have been diagnosed positive COVID, but I'll still go around you and won't tell you that, even though I know you're compromised. That's their personal liberties now you're dumping yourself on. And in Marion, and I asked, because I when I hear a rumor, I call them up. In Marion, because I think when you bring things to home, it means something. Right now, there's a three-month wait to see a respiratory specialist in Marion, Ohio. A three-month wait. And I asked the doctor, and I won't say his name, but there are only two, so you can figure it out. I said, what's the longest wait ever been for a respiratory therapist? He said, 10 days. Prior to COVID, 10 days, 3 months. No matter how bad you are right now, 3 months.
But do you realize that a lot of the respiratory problems are coming from the vaccine, too?
Well, this was prior to the vaccine.
No, I'm talking about now.
Right, but this was last December when I talked. I don't know what the wait is now.
I don't know either. Probably longer. Who knows?
But 3 months last December.
You know, we talk a lot of talk. What we're talking about here is personal liberty, and we're talking also about selfishness. And I don't know why we'd expect anything different. We have taught people in this country to be selfish for the last three generations. Everything is about me, 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 what I want. I can have it now. Just do it. You can do it yourself. Everything is focused on you. And the problem is with that, when everything's focused on you, you are the person that you end up caring about and nobody else. And we have to somehow get away from that. You know, one of the things we learn in the Bible is that is to always put others before yourself. Always put others before yourself. And I think that that message has been so lost in the last few generations that it's more important to take care of the other person. It'll come back and bless you. But you have to put them first. I really want to get this in before we close.
Well, you got 6 minutes.
I was going to start with this. We never got there. It's in Matthew. A lot of you are familiar with this passage probably. Matthew 11, verse 28. And this is one of my favorite passages. It says, and I think that it fits our times right now. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Now, that's a lot of people right now over a lot of situations, whether it's Afghanistan or the vaccine or COVID or sickness or jobs, whatever. A lot of employers are struggling right now trying to keep employees, and it's a mess. A friend of mine told me yesterday that they messed up something on his unemployment, and he got a letter that they wanted 10 weeks of it back. And, you know, that's a struggle. But anyway, it says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, it's saying, you know, trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. Take His burden, which is light, because everything's going to be fine. He's going to take care of you. You know, rest in the rest that He offers you. And don't let the situations around you completely envelop you and swallow you up. I would say that when I'm around people that I am in church with on a regular basis that love the Lord and they trust the Lord with their life, they're concerned as anyone about everything that's going on right now in the world. But they're not afraid. That's the biggest thing, is they're not afraid. And it's because they have that trust and that faith. And I think that right now a lot of people are very, very afraid. And I think that that is probably the main reason that people are not being vaccinated. They're afraid. They're afraid of something that's going to happen to them that's beyond their control. They're afraid of it more than they are of getting the virus, especially if they're younger. And one of the main reasons they're afraid is because this is what they think. This is all they have. They don't have anything else. You know, when you have faith in a God that you trust and you know that there's more beyond here, you're not going to worry about, oh boy, you know, this is it. You know, I'm gone. You know, I'm going to be gone tomorrow, and I'm going to be, my body's going to decay, and no one's going to remember me, and there's no more chance for me. And I wish that people would, you know, turn to the Lord more and trust Him to get through these difficult times. Prayer is so important right now, and real earnest prayer, too. Trusting God, not only for His salvation for yourself and your soul, but for those that are struggling right now. We talk about all the pain going on in Afghanistan right now. Let's pray for those people. Lift them up in prayer. You pray for their comfort, their peace, and strength, and health, and everything else involved. Pray for the ones that are coming over here now to be able to assimilate into society and to not to be too brokenhearted, you know, over the families they've left behind and what's happened to them. You know, there's people that have it far worse than you and I, Scott or Frank. They really do, and we have to understand that there's people that really, really need lifted up right now, and that's important. Looks like we've run out of time.
About 2 minutes.
2 minutes, that's great. Yeah. Hey, I want to invite you to Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We're a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and Bible-obedient church. We love kids there, I can tell you that, and we have so many things going on for young people. Getting ready to start Team Kid up here in the fall, and a pizza with the pastor and some different things, and invite you to come. Our phone number is there, 740-494-2222. If you want to call, and if no one's there, leave us a message. We'll get back with you and give you more information, or we're online at prospectccf.com. Scott, today was an interesting program. I came here today not at all expecting to talk about COVID, other than just to briefly mention it. And it is an interesting subject, and it's going to be at the center of our conversation for some time. But there's so much more going on that we're not talking about and that we need to talk about. The human trafficking situation in this country and the abuse of young children and the kids that are not being cared for and loved. And those of us that are plugged into our communities see it every day, and it's heartbreaking. And I guess I can close with this and tell you to reach out and love your neighbor.
Remember, this show can be heard every Friday morning, 11:10 a.m. on Sunday morning, at 8:10 a.m. and Wednesday afternoon at 3:10 p.m. Check out the website, wwgh1071.com. Go to Program Archives. The Pastor Spot is the first show under there. By the way, you can listen live on that website or download the free TuneIn app. It's absolutely free in any app store. And search WWGH, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service, can be heard live on this station every Sunday morning at 12:15. So don't miss that. With about 5 seconds left to go, Pastor, I'll give you the last word.
God bless you all. Have a good week, and come visit us sometime.
PH Radio, LPFM, Marion, Ohio, the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much...